course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad, you know, just living the dream, drinking some coffee, doing the do.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's get into this. There's lots of stuff to go over today on this episode, including our review coming up towards the end of the show, where we are reviewing the movie Push, which is available now on Shudder. Before we get there, though, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Yeah, I watched a couple movies, actually. Let's see. I went ahead and watched the original Stepfather. I know we kind of talked about that.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
It was pretty good. The original Stepfather was pretty decent. I can definitely see the inspiration for like the remake, and they had a lot of subtle nods. So, because I watched the original and I watched the remake, so the original there are like certain lines, like he talks about how, oh, maybe, you know, he's talking about how that family died, and he's like, oh, maybe they disappointed them or something like that, and they reused that line in the remake. So, it was kind of cool to see that. But no, the OG Stepfather was pretty decent. I did try and watch the second one, the Stepfather 2, and I could not get into it.
No. It's I'm not even sure if I've ever watched it or not, or got all the way through. It's Terry O'Quinn's not in that one, I don't think, is he?
I don't think so.
I think they tried to do the whatever, the plastic surgery route or whatever it is, or disguise or something to mask why he's not in it, but yeah, it's not any good.
No, but other than that, I did watch a movie called Be My Cat, a film for Anne. So this movie is really weird. It's like a low budget movie, but it's about a guy in like a foreign country who is like obsessed with Anne Hathaway, and he wrote a script for a movie called Be My Cat, because she played Catwoman. And basically he goes like on this like schizophrenic rampage where like he thinks that like he's gonna make a movie with Anne Hathaway and this, that, and the other, but obviously Anne Hathaway's not gonna do that. And it's honestly, it's like super, like it's super weird, like it is very hard to explain, but it was really good. It was a very strange movie. But he like starts killing people because of his obsession with Anne Hathaway, and so it was very interesting, to say the least.
Yes, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I got the recommendation from TikTok, weirdly enough, and I was like, okay, I'll get a shot. But other than that, I watched one other movie and then I'm done. I watched a movie called Leave the World Behind. So it's honestly not a super scary movie, but it's like an end of the world type movie, but it has like a really good cast, and I really don't know how I didn't hear about it before. I think it might be on coming to Netflix, or it might be on Netflix, but it has like Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke, it has Kevin Bacon in it, and then Mahershala Ali, the guy who was going to play Blade before they like canceled the Blade movie or whatever. But yeah, no, it was a really good movie, and it was very suspenseful. I don't know if it's quite horror, but it was pretty decent for like an end of the world type movie.
All right, so that's it then, huh?
I think so.
That's a wide variety. All right, let's see, what did I watch? I finished my all my Maniac Cop rewatches. I watched 2 and 3.
Maniac Cop.
And then I watched I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Watched those two. There is a third one. I've not watched it yet. I don't think it has the same people in it, but there is a third movie considered in it. So I'll watch that too before the new one, which we'll talk about a little bit here in a little, just a bit. Yeah, that's all I watched right now. So, all right then. Well, then let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have all of our news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news, spreading the news, spreading the news.
And welcome back for the news. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump in here. We got Robert Englund is finally getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on no better day than Halloween Day. This is obviously exciting. You know, obviously the Hollywood Walk of Fame and the stars and all that, it's not like super, you know, it's not a difficult thing to get become involved with, from what I understand. I think it's more of like a, you have to do like paperwork and you have to pay for it and stuff like that. So I don't really know the whole process, but it is uncommon to see some, you know, people like, you know, Robert Englund on there. I feel like you don't really see him or, you know, people in his genre on the Walk of Fame other than like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a few, but yeah, you have to get to a certain level. It feels kind of odd to me that it's taken this long for him to get on there, but that's okay. It's cool. Nice, you know, good proper day to do it on, and should be fun.
Absolutely. Can't be Halloween Day, but very good. So congratulations to old Robbie boy, and hopefully there'll be some videos of it somewhere. But very good. Moving on to Megan 2.0 Unrated is now available to rent and own digitally. It features enhanced kills, deleted scenes, and more carnage than seen in the theatrical version. So they did this with the first Megan, so I was kind of expecting that they would do it with the second. If I'm trying to remember correctly, I think the first Megan, it didn't have a whole lot of changes. I think it was only a couple of
Yeah.
scenes that they modified slightly.
Yeah, seems I remember we watched it and we're like, wow, that didn't seem like a like much added. So I don't, yeah, that
No,
was
I think it was really only like two or three scenes that were modified to like get the PG-13 rating. So it seems like it was pretty low key in terms of like the violence and stuff to begin with. So now the second movie, I could see maybe where they could have a couple other areas where it could get a little funky. So I think we'll just have to kind of see what it is that they're going to add back into it. But yeah, I'm excited. I'll watch it. No doubt.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping they add in quite a bit, maybe greatly improve the movie. I was not a huge fan. You can listen to our review in the archives. But one of the things I complained about is it didn't feel like, or there wasn't a lot, you know, it needed a little more. So hopefully some of that gets added back in. I do believe there were some statements put out that I think they kind of saw that they screwed up with what they did and what their direction was. They thought they could do it and realize now, obviously in retrospect, it maybe didn't work as well as what they thought. So, it is what it is. Hopefully the unrated will improve it. There are, you know, several movies that I've seen, you know, unrated or uncut versions of that have kind of greatly improved it for me. So, I'm hoping this is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. But like you said, our review wasn't quite the positive spin on what we thought it was going to be. So like you
No.
said, hopefully this will give us some redemption. And this isn't to say that it was a horrible movie by any metric. It was just, I think for us, it was more of just a, hey, you know, they definitely could have done quite literally anything else than this. And
Yep.
but you know, that's not there. But anywho, we'll go ahead and jump on to our next little snippet here. This is actually some cool news, actually. I think we have mentioned this movie before. I think this came up in another conversation not too long ago where they announced it. So it's cool to see that they're starting to cast people. But Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator has joined the case of the upcoming – oh, yeah, the case of the upcoming Mystery of the Mothman. So we both like Mothman. Mothman's a fun little urban legend type myth type deal. And of course, Jeffrey Combs, we both like Jeffrey Combs. But even better, this film will feature practical effects for Mothman. So if you guys know anything about Dave and I, you know that we love practical effects. I think that is an unspoken truth about all horror fans to some degree. But we love practical effects. So it is so cool that they're going to have that in here, and we're super excited for that.
Definitely. Added Jeffrey Combs, big plus, but even, yeah, like you said, even more so is that practical effects. I'm totally a practical effects guy. I think it just, if you do it right, it just looks better. CGI is obviously very, very advanced. It's come a long, long way. But it's still, unless you've got this unbelievable budget, it's still sometimes a little hokey. And I'm not meaning any disrespect, but I don't believe Mystery of the Mothman would have the kind of budget to get, Marvel-type CGI effects. So so good call on the practical effects.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that that's a very, I highly doubt, because you look at these movies and stuff like that, and you look at these low budget films, they probably have some effects budget, but I'm going to venture to guess that they're not going to have the budget required to
no
get some Marvel level stuff going up in here. So
yeah, and that's not disrespectful. It is what it is. I mean, it's most movies don't have that kind of financial backing, so.
No, they don't got the $1 billion Disney industrial complex, rallying behind it. So, but that's all right. We are here for practical effects. They're cheaper and they are generally better looking, dependent upon, how things go. So you have to give a caveat because you don't know who's doing the effects. So
yeah, there was a name and I didn't put it in there. He had, I can't remember who it was. Now. He had done a couple of pretty decent movies, so I think it'll be okay. As a general rule, obviously not always, but as a general rule, I'd rather watch a movie with a little bit lower budget and practical effects than a movie with a bigger budget and CGI as far as horror goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
good stuff. We'll have to check out that as we get some more information about Mystery of the Mothman. I'm hopeful that we'll get a release date pretty soon, especially if they're starting to cast people. I'm sure that there are at least something in the work, but very good. We're going to go ahead and jump now to It is official that Art the Clown will be featured in Terrifier Haunted House at the Halloween Horror Nights 2025. So this had been long speculated. I kind of went on a little bit of a rabbit hole. There are people who have been like, we're looking through like merchandise and like these, announcement posters for Halloween Horror Nights. And like some very keen-eyed people have been like spotting things in like the background of like pictures, and basically they're like sleuthing, trying to figure out like who's going to be the next Halloween Horror Nights. And someone somewhere put together like the background of like the Terrifier, the ride from the Terrifier 2 that's called Terrifier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that ride is in some of the merch, but it's like cut off, and so like people are like, oh, this has to be it. And I mean, they were right, but it's crazy how keen-eyed some people are. But as mentioned on one of our last episodes, I'm actually going to be going to Horror Nights this year, so I'm really excited that there's going to be a Terrifier house or haunt or whatever they call them there. So I'm super stoked.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is a big pickup, right? I mean, they always have big name stuff, but this is obviously a very, very cool one. There's a whole online presence of people that are just avid about the Halloween Horror Nights, and they are constantly, looking up stuff and speculating and doing. I mean, it's so, but they were spot on this one, and it should be cool. It should be pretty terrifying.
I see what you did
That's right.
there. All right, very good. Enough of the cheese. We're going to jump down to Aladdin. We'll be joining the public domain horror genre with a two-part film adaptation. I can already hear Monica's skin crawling
Oh
in
yeah.
the next room, just hearing that in the force, So
Yes.
we're getting two. It's going to be a two-parter, and it's going to be Aladdin and Aladdin's Revenge. So this is a 2026 release. Do you know if they're releasing both of them next year, or is it just going to be one part and then the other part in the next year or something?
I don't know. It just said 2026, so I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if that means the first movie. I don't know if that means both. Not sure, but I also think that not too long ago, I thought we also had news that there was going to be another one. Remember, it was like Aladdin Curse of the Monkey's Paw or something like that.
Yeah.
So apparently, we're getting this deal where it's like multiple people are doing it, which is whatever. It is what it is. Aladdin will be one that works pretty well because Aladdin is that's a very old story, a very old tale. That's not. That's something that Disney polished up. I'm not saying it was ever scary or horror, but it's not a Disney creation,
No.
straight up. So there's source material out there to pull something a little bigger from. So I really think this one will work well.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the original story is called like Arabian Nights or something like that, wasn't
Yeah, I something I'm not. Yeah, I don't know.
it? But I think you're right. It's not an original Disney IP. It's not like Frozen or something like that. It's just how they it's not like something that they were just like, okay, yeah, but it was something that they kind of transformed into something else, kind of like what they did with Moana. Moana is like an actual like legend from the Maori people, so and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I'm
Yeah.
excited. I think it'll work. Similar to how some of the other public domain stuff works. It just works.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, right? I love Disney. Right. I like all the I like Disney stuff. I think it's especially older Disney stuff. But people that everybody needs to understand Disney, most of I don't know if I'll say most, a good chunk of Disney stuff is not Disney creation. It's
No.
Disney adaptation. So a lot of what Disney did is very cleaned up, kind of spooky, scary stuff. So like this with the Aladdin and whatever, people that no one you can't say they're doing an adaptation of Disney because that's not what it is. It's an it's a different adaptation of Aladdin. So but and I get it. I do understand, right? Disney, that is the definitive, most known Aladdin. I love that movie. Don't get me wrong. But that doesn't mean somebody else can't do something.
Right. Again, I hear Monica rolling. I hear she's writhing in pain at the thought of somebody bastardizing poor Aladdin. But I
I'm
think she'll be
sure there will
fine.
be statements about Robin Williams rolling in his grave and everything else, and I don't know. All I gotta say is I think Robin Williams would dig it,
I think he
but
would. I think he'd find it fun.
yeah, what do I know?
But anywho, that's
Don't
good
ask
stuff.
Monica.
No, yeah, don't ask her. Don't ask her opinion on that. She'll tell you, that's for sure. But very good. So cool stuff. We'll look out for some more Aladdin news in the future. But until then, Creeping Death is now available on Blu-ray, featuring director's commentary with friend of the show Matt Sampier, and it has a making of, featurette, deleted scenes, bloopers, and more. That's really cool. Obviously, I think again, Dave and I have talked about this before. We are huge fans of behind the scenes stuff. We're huge fans of like bonus features and just the whole concept of special features on DVDs and stuff like that. So that's just a super, I mean, that's just something we're really into. And I remember when they released like the Terrifier movies, they did that too. They put some bonus features on them, and we even have commented that sometimes these movies, they don't do bonus features anymore. It's a thing in the past. So it's cool to see that we still have people, doing this, and keeping that tradition alive, if you will.
And I definitely enjoy Creeping Death. I think it's a movie that I would very much like to have a physical copy of. Just to have, not only for the special features, but that just adds to it. But yeah, and if anybody's interested, obviously I highly recommend going and giving it a watch, but you can also check out our review of the movie in the archives, plus our interview with Matt. Those are both out there for your listening pleasure.
Absolutely. Good old Matty boy. Hope he's doing all right. But very good. Our last little bit of news here before we jump to birthdays. Wednesday, season two, part one will debut on Netflix on August 6th. So I am excited for this, but I do have to say that I don't like the whole part one, part twos that they do. I miss when Netflix would just drop the whole motherfucker on there and just be like, boom, you're good. But yeah, that definitely seems to be a thing of the past. I feel like they are really trying to be like cable and drop it weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, whatever the fuck. So it is what it is. I'll watch it. I like the first season, but I will definitely wait until all of it is out so I can watch it all in one shot.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with that social media engagement, I think, and trying to prolong the being in the public eye. I don't know, whatever it is, but whatever. It's still looking forward to it and can't wait to see it.
Absolutely. So good stuff. We'll go ahead and jump now to some upcoming birthdays.
Got some big ones.
Yeah, we got some big ones. There's a few in here that I'm like, oh, wow. So first things first, July 17th, 1950, we have PJ Souls in her role as Linda in Halloween, Norma and Carrie, and of course, Riff Randall in the Ramones Rock and Roll High School. That last one is a special one for Dave because he's a huge Ramones fan.
Show is.
But yeah, obviously she's great in Halloween. I feel like that's probably one of her most iconic roles. I think her role in Carrie is also iconic as well. But I mean, come on, Halloween is a horror icon. If you are in that movie, you got clout for life. But PJ Souls is great, and yeah, I love her in that movie.
Me too. I like very big fan of PJ Souls. And everything she does and everything. So, yeah, I don't think she's doing any acting anymore, really, but she is very, very active out there in the convention circuit.
I was going to say, I feel like I've looked up her IMDb at least in the last little bit, and like you said, I don't see a lot of acting credits, but I do see people online posting like pictures of her at events and conventions, and
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
we
out there
kind
a
of talk.
lot.
Well, I mean, we kind of talk about it a lot with like a lot of the other actors and stuff in the similar position, and I feel like a lot of these actors who kind of like act in like one big horror movie and then they kind of like, I don't say they stop acting, but they kind of stop acting. They get really active in the convention circuits, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, who the hell doesn't want their picture with PJ Souls? I do. I would. She's definitely up there on that list of people that I'd love to meet at a convention. Plus,
Absolutely.
one of my dream interviews. I'd love to interview her. I'd definitely talk Halloween, but also talk Ramones. That movie's so cheesy, but it's so fun and she's so damn good in it. And it's a fun movie, very cheesy, but I love her in it.
Well, if there's anything I can tell you here is that Dave and I like our movies like we like our pizza, extra cheesy.
Yes, right. And you don't get much cheesier than the Ramones playing while walking down a high school and then helping lead the charge to blow the high school up.
Hell yeah. Side note, actually, I had some good pepperoni pizza the other day from a place here in Pensacola. It was good. But that's a side note. I like pizza. Too early to be thinking about pizza. I'm gonna
Show is.
move on to our other birthday, which is another big name. Same day, just
Yes.
14 years later, July 17, 1964. Heather Langenkamp, known as Nan or known for Nancy in A Nightmare on Elm Street, and number three, which is easily the best sequel of all time, and also Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is also I feel like a pretty underrated sequel in the Nightmare franchise. Not to say that it is like the best of the best, but it's really good. I think New Nightmare is easily overlooked just because it was released at a different time. But very good movies and very good actor. She's also in the she's in a Netflix series, the Midnight Club. It's really good too.
Oh. Yeah, she's I like her. And yeah, another one that I'd love to meet at a convention.
Yeah, I see that she does conventions too. I don't think I see her as much as I see like, your PJ Souls and, people like that, but I do see her do conventions occasionally.
Yeah.
But well, anywho, happy birthday, Heather. Hope you're doing good. We're gonna jump now to another July 17th birthday. Damn, three in a row on the same day. That's crazy. This is just a year later. We have Alex Winter, who is Marco in The Lost Boys, and Bill and Ted. Yeah, I mean, Bill and Ted's great. I love Bill and Ted, and obviously I like Lost Boys as well. But Bill and Ted, I feel like is a cultural icon. Same thing with like
Oh, yeah.
Wayne's World. I kind of see them in the same vein. One of Keanu's better movies. I don't dislike Keanu Reeves, but I do think that he does have a very unique personality that requires very specific movies for him to thrive in.
But he's yeah, Bill and Ted's fun. I mean, you gotta dig any movie that, got a toy line and a cartoon. I mean, that's just shows you how big it was.
That was the 80s, man. I mean,
Yes.
they gave TV shows and toy lines to anything that walked and breathed. I mean, I don't
Pretty
mean that in a
much.
bad way, but
They made a cartoon for Police Academy. And if you look at Police Academy, it is not really a kid-friendly show, but they cleaned it up and it was fun. But don't get me wrong, I love Police Academy. But not the kind you would think would be adapted for a cartoon. But
no.
it worked.
Ghostbusters Get-Go was rated R, wasn't Or is that
I think so.
PG-13? Well, because they
I
made
think
that
so.
into a kid show too, didn't they?
Yes, there was a cartoon and toys for that. There was Beetlejuice, there was a cartoon and toys. I don't even know what else. There's It was a good time. Anything and everything. Toxic Avenger, they had
Yeah,
toys and a
talks.
cartoon for that. I mean, it's like, wow.
Oh man, that was a different time. It's a different time, but very good. Love Lost Boys and Bill and Ted. So happy birthday, Alex Winter. Hope you're doing good. So now we have a non-July 17th birthday finally. July 19th, 2 days later, and in 1982, we have Jared Padalecki. He is Sam in Supernatural. He's also in Crywolf and House of Wax and the Friday 13th remake. Jared Padalecki is fantastic. He's great in everything he does. Yeah, I mean, what can I say? I love Jared Padalecki, and I know Dave does too. Supernatural alums will always have a place on our podcast. Not that they're listening, but if they were, you always have a place on this podcast.
That's right. Love me some Padalecki. Good guy, good actor, and everything else. So, and of course, Supernatural. That's all you got to say for me.
That's right. It's like that song, "A Little Bit of Padalecki in My Life." But anyhow, so don't mind me. I get on little brain tangents there.
Yeah,
Happens.
that's all right.
But we're gonna jump now to our other birthdays. We have two more. We have July 21st, 1955. Almost said the year first. Adrienne King, who is Alice and Friday 13th and Friday 13th Part 2. And as I recall, didn't she have a part in the series that is upcoming?
Well, that was what was said, when it was all originally happening before some shifting around things. So who know, I'm not sure at this standpoint what's happening with that, with her. So I don't know. That's before the remember the show director or show runner and stuff left. So again, I don't know. It was said that yes, she had a part in it in a Crystal Lake, but hopefully she still does.
Gotcha. Yeah, I say I remember. Yeah, and again, we complain about this all the time, but I do remember that there was just a lot going on with like the whole Crystal Lake thing, and
Yes.
so
But it
it was.
is in production. It is being shot and being filmed as we speak. So It's definitely, well, I guess you can't say 100%, but it's looks like it's happening and going to be out there. So,
Yeah, I was gonna say you can't say definitely, but we could say it is likely going to happen.
that's right.
Assuming nothing else terrible happens.
That's right. You can't say definitely. I'm talking to you who is at Warner Brothers with the damn Batgirl movie that you're sitting on that you won't put out there so I can see me some more Keaton Batman.
Yeah,
Fuck you.
I don't understand that, and obviously not to get off on a tangent, but I just never understood that. Why hold on to the movie if you know what I mean? Like, just release it. I mean, what's it going to hurt at this point? I know that
I
James
don't.
Gunn, he's revamping the DC universe and whatnot. And that's great, but like, just release the damn movie. Who cares at this point?
Yep, but
Know. But hope maybe if we get online and everybody hassles James Gunn about it, he might be like, oh, okay, here we go.
well, lots of people are hassling. But
People are hassling someone. That's all we know. But
that's right.
very good. But anywho, happy birthday, Adrian King. Hopefully, we'll see you soon and Crystal Lake. So we're gonna jump to our last one. This is a good one, and he's had a little bit of a resurgence lately. I feel like he's been in a few movies, and he has one coming out, I think, too. But July 21st, 1978, Josh Hartnett, known for his role in The Faculty, Halloween H2O, 30 Days of Night, Trap. And he's been in a couple other things, I think, that are getting ready to come out, which is exciting as well.
Always liked him, right? I because again, I have a very soft spot for Halloween H2O. I think it's very underappreciated. And he was good in it with the kind of an awkward haircut, but we'll let that slide. And I think it was supposed to try to make him look a little younger or something. I don't know. Anyway, but then it's like yeah, he's like there for a while. I mean, maybe he was doing some stuff. I just wasn't seeing him. But I mean, damn, Trap was pretty good, pretty fun. He was great in it. So I'm glad he's still out there doing his thing. And we've talked about The Faculty, how we think it's a very underappreciated movie. And in 30 Days a Night, we've talked about that, how we like it. So that's some pretty good movies, just those right there, and that's not counting all the other stuff he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna say we I think we talked about The Faculty. What's one of those other ones that we always talk about? It happens to come up in conversation. But yeah, I love The Faculty. I hope they remake that sometime. They could do like a requel and have some people from the original come back. That'd be pretty cool. But all right, that does it for all of the birthdays. We have a bunch of anniversaries, so we'll try and rock through these. But we're going to start with July 17th, 2002, Eight-Legged Freaks. I love Eight-Legged Freaks. That's a good, fun little horror comedy, starring David Arquette, which is always a good time. Old David Arquette does just lots of fun stuff, and I love it. But yeah, I love Eight-Legged Freaks. I think we actually talked about bug movies at some point in like the recent history of the show, and we did a top three, and yeah, I loved Eight-Legged Freaks, still do, so love that movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie and everything else. I put it on here for you mainly because I know you really like it. I will always to me it's, I hear Eight-Legged Freaks. I always think of video stores because it was such a big video release when it came out, and it's like it had this big. There was tons of them and stuff. So I don't know. I always get sentimental for the video store days. And if you can listen, you can hear that sad violin music playing because I miss those days.
Yeah, that was just a different time, and I think it's it, yeah, video stores were just are a thing of the past now, unfortunately.
I get it. Again, we've talked, that streaming services are very, it's a similar concept sometimes, right? You can scroll through and discover something just like you could walking through a video store, but I'm always a physical kind of guy, right? Just like with books too. I like to have it in my hand and be able to look at it and see that cover art, and I miss that stuff. And just going in and walking around and just having something, renting something just based on the cover art alone, and stuff like that. Those are fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. I have some very fond memories growing up of going to Hollywood Video mostly, And because there's one in pretty close to where my grandma lived, and we would go get movies. I would get me some of those cookie dough bite candies. Those are fucking bomb, dude. I love those so much. But yeah, I get those candies, we get a movie, take it home, make some popcorn, and have a good time. Those were the days. But
Yeah, simpler times. Seems simpler. I don't know. Maybe they weren't.
but
I think it's all just context.
it
I don't know if times were ever simpler per se. And I'm the first one to admit that a lot of the stuff I talk about, in my opinion, it's through fucking the rose-colored glasses of nostalgia. And I don't deny that. And but I think nostalgia is a very important thing in life. I like it because there's something about nostalgia. I know I'm getting off on a tangent here, but and like
That's okay.
if something like this, and you're out and about or whatever, or you're scrolling online and you see a picture of like a video store or a DVD, and it brings back those feelings. And so I think nostalgia is important.
No, absolutely. I think nostalgia is a huge driving factor in just the industry that we talk about. You know what I mean? Nostalgia is huge in terms of like, what movies get made and what movies get remade. So there's no harm in nostalgia. It's a very useful tool, and it is also just fun to reminisce. So good stuff. But all right, we're gonna move on to our next one, which is July 18, 1980, Prom Night. Prom Night's another classic, from days of old. It had a remake, and the original is really good. The remake's good too in its own way. But I gotta say, I think the original has a Jamie Lee Curtis in it, right? So I think I have to say that I like that one better, just because I do think Jamie Lee Curtis is a very good actress, generally speaking. And I think that she was really great in that movie. So yeah, I'd say that's a better movie than the OG.
I would agree. You know me. I'm typically a original version kind of guy, and definitely am with Prom Night. So.
Yeah, you don't gotta question Dave on that. He's like, hey, the original, I'm in.
Yep.
But very good. We're going to jump to July 18th, about 34 years later. The Purge Anarchy. At that time of year, all the Purge movies start jumping up. They have a
Yeah.
pretty decent history.
We're still talking Purge.
Yeah. I feel like all of them came out in July, clearly. And yeah, Anarchy is the second film, because it's Purge, Purge Anarchy, Purge Election Year, First Purge, Forever Purge. And then I think that's all of them. I think there's only five of them. But yeah, this one's the second one. I think this one's probably this one's my favorite outside of the original, because sometimes when you start ranking these movies, you can't really rank the original movie. So I would say that the second one probably is my favorite movie, because obviously I'm going to say the first one every time, but no, the second one's really good too.
Yeah, I think so too. Again, I'm not gonna talk about long. We've talked a lot about Purge movies lately, but I think they're all fun in their own right and varying degrees, like any series. But yeah, it just feels like there's been 50 of them. But every week, it's like feels like we have a bunch of them. But I know that's not true, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, no, I agree. But good stuff. So we're gonna move on to our other anniversaries. We've got a bunch here. July 19, 1985, Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead's great. It is the sequel to Dawn of the Dead. It's just a great movie. The original's great. They're in a bunker, has some really great visuals, and it's probably one of the better zombie movies of the time. Some can get a little hokey, but I feel like this one had the right spirit for a zombie movie.
Yeah, I mean, I love Day of the Dead. I just it's fun, it's great. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometime we need to like go through and watch all the Romero movies and like rank them. I feel like that'd be a little bit of an overhaul, because there'd be a lot of movies to watch, but it'd be fun.
Yes, I agree. But I'm down. I love me some Romero.
Hopefully we'll get I think we're getting another Romero movie soon. I know he's passed, but I think his estate is making another of the Dead movie of some sort. I can't remember what the specifics are, but I think I remember reading that, but we'll see. We're going to jump now to July 19th, 2013, The Conjuring. This is the original Conjuring, and we have another one coming out pretty soon, which should be fun. But the original Conjuring is great. It has, you know, some of the best, you know, possession type stuff and some of the best, you know, just themes and everything else that you could see in these types of paranormal movies. And it really, to me, is one of the better, you know, ghost possession movies of the modern day. These movies are a dime a dozen these days, but The Conjuring stands out for sure.
Yeah, I think I think so too. And it's very weird. It doesn't feel like it's been 12 years.
No,
I don't
it
know.
Doesn't.
I don't know. It's so wild, but maybe it's because like you said, we've had several of them since. It just, but yeah. I mean, I love The Conjuring. Again, it's, you know, kind of that same concept, right? They're all, I like them all in varying degrees, but you know, the first one is special.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it, like you said, the OG will all, it always sticks out because, like you said, it was the first and it has that special place in sort of this, you know, cinema zeitgeist. And yeah, it's great. And I'm super excited. I think I can't remember what another one's called. It's like Last Rites, I think.
Last
Last
Rites,
one's
yeah.
Called. Yeah, the trailer for it looks good. So I'm super excited. And I think that's coming out in the nearest future, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah,
so
not too far.
Not too far. Not too much, but we're going to jump now to our next movie anniversary. We have three more. Okay.
Whew, bunch of them.
Yeah, I know. July 22nd, 1977, we have The Hills Have Eyes. I do like the original Hills Have Eyes. You know, it's one of those movies that was definitely a product of its time. And, you know, it's good. But, I don't know. I feel like I've watched the remake too, and I don't like the remake as much. The original is definitely better than the remake. But yeah, I mean, these types of movies aren't my super favorite. You know, The Hills Have Eyes is just kind of all right to me. I do like some of the stuff, like some of the effects and stuff that they have in that. And this was in the day and age where they would, I don't mean this way it's going to sound, they would hire people who were kind of odd looking to play characters. And they hired that one guy, the really tall dude. He's like in all these movies now. I can't remember what his name is.
I don't know. I don't remember his name, but yeah, I mean, I like The Hills Have Eyes, but it's, again, yeah, it's not one of my favorite movies all day, but it's a good movie. It's just, yeah, not my, like you said, kind of not my go-to type, but I do understand why some people really, really like it though.
So the guy's name is Michael Berryman. He's got
yeah,
like
yeah,
an
yeah,
odd,
that's it.
he got an odd look to him, but he kind of plays that character really well.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think
he's in
we
all those.
I think we just had a he just had a birthday not too long ago, and I think we spoke of him on the show.
Very possible, but very good. I forgot that Dee Wallace was in The Hills Have Eyes as well. That's,
what has she not been in?
I was
Love
gonna
Dee
say
Wallace.
She's in everything. But,
Love D.
all right.
Wallace.
But, all right, we're going to jump down to July 22nd, 2005. The Devil's Rejects. Yeah, this is the lesser of Rob Zombie's projects. Like I said, I like A House of 1,000 Corpses, you know, better than I like this one. Yeah, I can't really say anything about it. I watched it. It was all right. Wasn't my favorite. Not to say that I don't like, well, I guess I can say that I'm not a huge fan of Rob Zombie's movies, but generally speaking, you know, House of 1,000 Corpses was promising, so I was really hoping that Devil's Rejects would carry on that, but it did not.
Yeah. We talked about Rob Zombie endlessly, and it is what it is. Not a huge fan of Zombie's movie work, but you know, we'll bring it up because lots of people are. So,
yep,
there you go.
Very good. So, all right, our last anniversary, almost done here, guys. July 22nd, 2022, we have Nope, the third of Jordan Peele's films. You know, Jordan Peele, he has just a pretty interesting, you know, list of films that, you know, he's been a part of. And I just feel like he just keeps adding more to his repertoire. And Nope was a great movie. It was very interesting, very unique. It was one of those movies that you're watching, you just have no idea what's going on at any point in that movie. And it's just it's great. So love to see it. If you haven't seen Nope, it's very highly recommended. It is. I think that for me, Us and what's the other one called? He was Get Out. Are I think those are better films than Nope. But I think the Nope is still a good movie nonetheless.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy all of his movies, and I think he's got another he's working on or is not too far out, so I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, I advise anybody to watch his movies because they're very enjoyable, at least to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. But very good. So we're done with our upcoming movie anniversaries. We're going to jump now to our one upcoming release. It's an important one, of course. I Know What You Did Last Summer is coming to theaters on July 18th and is described as a group of friends are terrorized by a stalker who knows about a gruesome incident from their past. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. So yeah, I mean we've kind of been mentioning it a little bit over time, and this is definitely been on the books for a while. We were excited when this got first announced, so we're obviously excited to see it now. But obviously, I Know What You Did Last Summer has a few movies before it. We know that some of the characters are returning, such as Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character and then the other girl's character. I cannot remember her name right now for some reason. So it's cool to see that they're kind of doing the Scream effect, doing sort of a requel, bringing in some of the legacy cast, and hopefully the movie's good. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, me too. I think I'll enjoy it probably no matter what, but we'll see. It's you never know with these things how they're gonna work. But I am very, very excited to see it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Push. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing the Shudder movie Push, written and directed by David Charbonnier and Justin Powell. I don't know if that's how you say his name, but whatever. Starring Alicia Sanz, Raul Castillo, and more. I am just all over the place here. Movie debuted on Shudder on July 11th. Again, this will, we've talked a lot so far on this episode, so this won't be too long. But I can say, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. I thought it had some elements that, again, I won't say much because I don't want to give away, but they're the reason that the movie's named Push. I think added a layer to it that was, I thought it was a little unique. There was some parts early on that moved kind of slow to get there, but it again, I don't know that this is really a hardcore horror movie. There was definitely a couple kills in it and whatever, but it's more of a thriller. But it was a fun movie, a decent little watch. Nothing over the top, special, groundbreaking, but they did sprinkle a few things in there that kind of gave it some unique twists that you don't always see. But I don't know, some of these movies like this, it's like I don't know if you've seen one thriller, I feel like you've seen them all, even if you just change the settings and stuff. But if you like that kind of movie, I think this one was it was all right, it was decent enough. If you're into that, I think it's worth a watch for you. So. But I don't know that I would hardcore call this a horror movie, but there were some tense parts. a few little, you know, kind of scary parts. So it had some of that, but it was an okay movie. So, Ike, what'd you think of Push?
Yeah, you know, I think Push was a sort of atypical home invasion thriller. What I mean by atypical is that it did not follow the conventional, you know, home invasion trope of, hey, this is my house, you're invading my house. You know, the movie, and these are not spoilers, these are part of like the description of the movie. This person is a realtor and she is showing the house, and somebody shows up, they act a little weird, they leave, but then they come back and start doing bad stuff. And you know, towards the end of the movie, we do get a little bit of a explanation as to why they came back and why they were there and stuff. But generally speaking though, like this kind of, you know, this does divert from the original trope. This isn't like, you know, a standard home invasion movie. This is a sort of twist on that. Which, you know, it's just, you know, I think I can see where they were trying to go with it. And I'm not going to say that I dislike the movie, but I do think that the movie was just kind of standard. You know what I mean? It was kind of just your standard home invasion, and they were trying to make it different. But I don't think that they changed enough about the trope or the formula of a home invasion thriller to make it anything particularly unique. I think that this movie did struggle in the beginning. You kind of mentioned it. It had a little bit of a slow build. I think that they were putting way more exposition into a movie like this than they really needed to. I feel like they probably could have cut it by half and it would have been equally the same. It would have had the same outcome. I think having the extra information that they provided up to that point, and having the extra like scenery shots and having the extra B-roll and all that other stuff, didn't really do anything to add to the film. If anything, it made the movie kind of drag a little bit. But, you know, and that's not to say that the movie having exposition is necessarily a bad thing. It's just that sometimes having too much is a bad thing. And in this case, I think that's a case of having too much is a bad thing. I will add that I think that, like you said, this is not a straight horror movie. I think that this definitely leans more into the thriller suspense genre than it does pure horror. But I think that had they changed a few things, that probably could have been a really, really good horror movie. I think that they could have made it legitimate horror. They could have gone down that path. And perhaps that was just not the director's preferred, you know, path in terms of the film and the making of the film. But in any case, movie was good. Nothing groundbreaking, nothing super genre defining or redefining. It was a standard horror, thriller, suspense, home invasion-esque movie. And it hit all the major points of a home invasion movie. And just kind of left me wanting a little more, though. I'll say that. It left me wanting just a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I like you said, I think they definitely could have trimmed the movie down. I get why they were trying to give some of the backstory. I get what, in the course of the movie, what they were trying to do. But I think they made the point pretty quickly. But then it's just like they felt like they had to make it a few more times. They were trying to establish a, I don't know what you want to call it, a character quality to the main character, which would try to establish something. Anyway, I get the point, but yeah, they drove it into the ground too much. And there was a couple things that were in that backstory that I thought, I don't even know if that's needed per se. It just seems like a little much, but it is what it is. Again, this is your standard movie of this type, and while they're okay, they're just, I don't know, they're not my thing. I'm kind of just burnt out on seeing these kind of movies, and because there's so many of them are coming out, so many of them they're calling horror, and it's getting a bit exhausting. But let's rate this thing, Ike. You know, I don't know what to say about it. It's again, it's an okay movie. It's not like it's a bad watch. It's not like one of those movies that you regret watching. But it's, again, it is, like you said, just the movie format that's been done so much. And it's almost like they're interchangeable anymore, you know, with You watch one, you watch them all pretty much. Yeah. And I don't know. So I think I got to knock it down a little bit. And I think I'm going to give it a 2.5 because it's not, again, not a horrible movie, but it just not enough originality there for me to give it even that middle of the ground, kind of set it apart from this mob of these kind of movies. So I'm going to give it a 2.5. Ike, what about you?
Yeah, I think I do have to agree. I think one of the fatal flaws of this movie is, like you said, it just kind of borders on average. And I think that they could have done more with it. And that's not to say that the movie didn't have its qualities, like you said. It's just, but I don't think I would go back and rewatch this movie. That's the big thing, is that I don't think a return to this movie is in the books. So I think I'd have to agree. I think a 2.5 out of 5 would give me what I think this movie deserves. I think 2.5 out of 5 makes sense.
Well, there you go. The consensus, 2.5 out of 5. This is one of the, I know we spoke about video stores earlier. This is one of those straight to DVD movies you used to see. And, some of these movies getting onto streaming platforms and stuff like this, that's kind of the modern equivalent, right? There's no theatrical release. It's going straight to a streaming service. And again, I love Shudder, but in the grand scheme, it's a smaller streaming service. Not like this went to a Paramount or HBO Max or something like that, right? So,
right.
Yeah, kind of the equivalent of a straight to DVD. But support Shudder, give it a watch, let us know what you think. But next episode, I'm hoping will be better, a little more enjoyable. I'm hoping it'll be a little more straightforward horror, because I feel like we're kind of treading water. We're in this light period here of the year. We're not getting a lot of really diehard horror type stuff, right? I mean, I don't know. I need something. I need something more, man. I need some slasher, some blood and guts. So hopefully next episode with I Know What You Did Last Summer, we will get some of that. I'm very hopeful. Looking forward to seeing it. And you'll find out what we think of it next episode. But to close this out, we'd like to say thank you to our wives and all the listeners and the followers for all your support and everything that you do for us. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Screams. That's Listen, the number 2 in Screams. Or you can just look up Listen to Their Screams and you will find us. So before we close this out, anything you want to add, Ike?
Oh, let's see. Honestly, no, there's not a whole lot to add. I did watch the Superman over the weekend. I went on Sunday, and our theater had a very, very early showing at like 9:30 in the morning. So we went and saw it in IMAX, and it was fantastic. I'm not going to give any spoilers, because I don't think Dave's seen it yet.
No.
But just to suffice to say is that I love Superman. I love, you know, all the other Supermans. I love Christopher Reeves. I love, you know, Brandon Routh to an extent. I love Henry Cavill, but David Corn Sweat is by and far probably the most comics accurate, true to form version of Superman that has ever graced the screen. And I legitimately give that movie a 5 out of 5 if anybody is considering going to watch it.
Yeah, I think, hopefully, I'm actually thinking we're going to go see it tomorrow.
Nice.
As we're recording this, I'm hoping. We have one of our cats is, he's a, you know, he's getting the, whatever you call it.
The old snipperoo.
The snip. And where we're taking him is in a bigger town, like 40 minutes away. We're taking him there. And, but it's like an all day thing, right? We have to drop him off like really early. And he's got to be there until like 3 or 4 or whatever. Cause, you know, after he's done, they want to keep an eye on him and stuff. So we got like a whole day to burn. And we're going to go to some of our favorite, you know, shops and record stores and bookstores and stuff like that. But I still think we're going to have time. We're going to try, I think, to watch it while we're there. And that's kind of the plan. There's a couple of really nice theaters there that have the, you know, the recliners and all the good shit. And I'm really hoping to, if we get to go see it, I'm kind of really hoping that I get to score one of the crypto popcorn buckets. Because it's very, very cute. And I really want one. So we'll see. I don't know if there'll be any left at this stage of the game. But we'll see. I'm hopeful. But yeah, okay, then there we go. Kind of a tangent on Superman. But so all right, that's it for this episode. Again, next episode we will be reviewing the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer, which will be out within a couple of days of this episode releasing. So everybody go watch that and support it. Until that episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.